Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, y'all say you can't do this, you can't dress, and you can't do certain things. You don't matter how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. Got to obey the word of God. This salvation in Acts 2:38 is not a must. It's not a maybe. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another plate building to get into. Just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Praise the Lord. Welcome to another episode of Kingdom of God Ministries. Coming to you live on this beautiful Sunday morning. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, we've been away for a couple of Sundays in the past. We just took care of some vacationing with our grandkids and just enjoying some of the summer before they go back to school. We just ask that you pray for us, Kingdom of God Ministry. Right now we're in transition. We were meeting at the community center. We have been there for 2 years, and no one was coming, so we're just broadcasting live out of our home. But we ask that you pray for us, that God would bless us with the funds and the finances that we need so we could further the gospel. We have a big vision in the city of Canton, Georgia. But we need support. It takes money, and we don't come to you begging. We don't come to you with a lot of gimmicks. We don't come to you. We only come to you preaching the unadulterated word of God. So we ask that you be a blessing to us, even if it's $1, if it's $5, whatever you can give, we would appreciate it. You could go to our donate page at KOGM.net. There is a donate button. Feel free to donate whatever amount that God has blessed or put on your heart. If we have been a blessing to you, please sow a blessing to us. We have a vision that we want to hit the streets where we can go out in the communities with a Stop the Violence rally. It saddens my heart to see so many young men in the Atlanta area getting gunned down. We just had a killing in Atlanta. Young man was gunned down, murdered. Another young man, my friend's adopted son, was brutally beat and put in ICU. There's a spirit of rage. There's a spirit of murder. These strongholds is over this particular city, and the only way we can effectively fight it is if we go out in the communities praying and preaching truth. And that's why you hear Kingdom of God Ministries coming to you with this urgency. Matthew 24, this is what we're going to be teaching on today. Matthew 24, end times. If you can't see that we are fastly approaching the last days, get your head out the sand. To the preachers that are not preachers, they're only giving you cereal instead of solid food. You need to start preaching the word. Amen. Because people are dying. People are going to hell. And in some of our next episodes, we're going to be teaching about hell and teaching you how not to go to hell. Because he said, broad is the way that leads to destruction. There's a lot of people that are picking up the way of destruction. They don't want to hear the truth. But if we have to do it out of our home, that's what we do. God told us, he gave us this ministry. We birthed this ministry. God, we always had this call on our lives, but we were sitting in churches where that was it. You would just sit. So God put on our spirit, he said, well, if they don't want to hear you, then you start on the radio. Do Blog Talk Radio. Somebody out there want to hear the truth. And that's why we have a passion for what we do. We're not controlled by the dictates of man, but we want to go as God lead us. So with that, I'm going to open with prayer. Father God, we just thank you today. We thank you, Lord God, that you are God Almighty. Lord God, we thank you that you called us into this ministry. And Lord, in everything we do and say, we give you the glory. Lord God, we don't look for the accolades of men, but we look for your approval. We want you to be pleased with our life. Because, Lord God, we know that when you call, you lift up. Lord God, and we thank you. We ask that you touch our listening audience as this word go forth. Touch them, Lord God. Touch the heart. Bring them to repentance. Those that are living a backslidden life, Lord God, we ask that you touch them right now. Lord God, the preachers that are not preaching according to your word, we ask that you touch them right now. Lord God, we ask that you raise up men and women of the gospel that's going to teach the word of God, not with compromise, but be led by your spirit. Lord God, we thank you. Lord God, we ask that you anoint my mouth, anoint me, that I go forth and only teach what you would have me to teach. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So with that, I'm going right into the message. If we have some time later on in the broadcast, you need prayer, feel free to call in. I'll be giving out the number, the guest call-in number, toward the end of the broadcast. Amen. But we're going into Matthew 24, end times, end times. I want that to just soak into your mind, end times. I want you to ask the Lord to take the blinders off your eyes so we could see that we're living in the last days. We don't have time to be slacking. Amen. So with that, let's go to Matthew 24, and he says, and he sat upon a mountain of olives. The disciples came unto him, privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of the coming of the end of the world? And so I want you to think of this. This happened over 2,000 years ago, and they were still asking Jesus, what are some of the signs that we should be looking for? Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. And we see that all all day. Just cut on some of the TV and some of these false, supposed to be evangelistic ministers teaching how to get money, how to prosper, how to live your best years now, how to, you know, just live a lifestyle. You don't have to have no kind of repentance. You can just live as you are, and you're good to go. We see a lot of that garbage going on in the body of Christ now. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and deceive many, and shall hear of wars, rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. We know that there's going to be a lot of calamity coming up on the earth, and I'm going to kind of give you some of the things. Just in 2013, some of the natural disasters that has hit this world. Church, wake up. Church, it's time. Church, we need to be going out in the world getting the sinners. We need to be going out in the highways and byways compelling them to come into the gospel of the truth. Amen. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrow. Then shall they deliver you to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. That's contrary to what these prosperity preachers is teaching you. They teach you the opposite. They teach you that you're going to have all kinds of favor with the world. We got now preachers that are going on reality TV shows, and they showing you the bling bling and how you should be prospering like them. They have hooked up with people like Oprah and some of these secular people, all in the name, they say, of Jesus. What Jesus are you preaching? Because what I just read, he say, then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted. You shall be, they shall kill you, and you shall be hated. Maybe I missed something here. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Don't sound like that's a lot of favor to me. Anytime you're teaching the word of God, the devil don't like you. You is a target on his hit list because he know that if he could stop you and shut it up, that's why it's imperative, people. We need your support because if he could shut that one prophet voice up from going forth, how many other people going to be affected? If you don't hear Kingdom of God ministries on the radio anymore, how many people going to be affected? That is an enemy. That's an attack of the enemy. We need your prayers. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Look at the heart of the nation now. People don't even have a passion for Jesus anymore. They don't have a love to how it used to be, go to the church and fall on their knees and just want God to save them. They don't even hardly teach salvation hardly. They don't even teach repentance. They don't even teach there is a literal hell. They teach all is well. We eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And that's the attitude. That's sad. That's the world's attitude, but it has crept into the church. You come teaching something like this, the church will tell you, oh, you're too spiritual. You're too spiritual. It don't take all that. Well, with the calamities that are coming upon this earth, it's going to take that and then some. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel, the kingdom, shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. No time in history have we had communication, and I am an IT recruiter, and I see the advancement in our technology and communication and how we have the internet. And this internet, as we preach it today, this message is going throughout all the world. So it's very easy that the message of the gospel can be preached throughout all the world. We don't have time to play. We need to get our armor on and get ready to fight this battle. Let's go over here to 2 Peter. It's 3:3. And as I read, you can take notes also. But 2 Peter 3, dear friends, this is the second letter I'm writing you. And both letters, I'm trying to refresh your memory. I want you to remember the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and what the Lord and Savior commanded you through your apostles. First, you must understand this, and this is out the Word translation, and for those of you who only read King James, that's fine. I do too, but pretty much I wanted you to just get the gist of what he's saying. First, you must understand this. In the last days, people who follow their own desires will appear. These disrespectful people will ridicule God's promise by saying, "What's happened to the promise to his return?" Ever since our ancestor died, everything continues as it did from the beginning of the world. They are deliberately ignoring one fact. Because of God's words, heaven and earth existed a long time ago. The earth appeared out of water and was kept alive by water. Water also flooded and destroyed that world. By God's word, the present heaven and earth are designated to be burned. They are being kept until the day ungodly people will be judged and destroyed. Dear friends, this is my admonition to you. Dear friends, don't ignore this fact. One day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord isn't slow to do what he promised, as some people think. Rather, he is patient for your sake. He doesn't want to destroy anyone, but wants all people to have an opportunity to turn to him and change the way they think and act. Now, why aren't we hearing this message preached more in the churches? Why? Why is this message covered up with a lot of prosperity and entertainment? What is going on? This is the urgency over 2,000 years ago, and it's more so should be the urgency now. Because lawlessness, he said, because there will be more and more lawlessness, most people love will grow cold, lawlessness. They don't want to worship God. All kinds of debauchery, all kinds of lasciviousness, all kinds of lust, fornication, greed, maliciousness, murder. Do you not see this in today's headlines? Cut the news on. Maybe if you cut the news on, you can see the urgency that we are definitely in the end times. Maybe you could see that it's more to life than eat and drink and be merry. For tomorrow we die. Over in Jude 1:18, in the last times, people who ridicule God will appear. They will follow their own ungodly desires. Look at the news. People are making fun, and to the pastors that are teaming up with Oprah, she has told you she is New Age, straight up New Age. I don't even know how you could team up with that. She has spirit guides, witchcraft. And you want to team up with that? You need to pray. Because I tell you what, money is not, silver and gold, you know, I don't have that. But I'm not going to compromise the word of God just to team up with the world so I can be famous, so I can get the status quo, so I can have the bling bling, so I can have the Rolls Royce. No, I choose to go the way of the Lord. And when God want to raise me up with all that, if he choose to, that's between him. But I'm not going to partner up with heathens that tell you there's many paths that lead to God. Me and her, we couldn't even, you know, I could treat you in love, but I don't really have nothing in conversation with you. Because you're going against the God of Isaac, Abraham, and Jacob. You're serving the God of this world. I can't get down with you like that. Let's go on. Over in Psalms, and then before I go into the calamities, I want you to hear. This is Psalms 124:31, and this is what the Lord would say. He said, "I called you, and you refused to listen. I stretched my hands to you, and no one paid attention. You ignored my advice. You did not want me to warn you. I will laugh at your calamity. I will make fun of you when panic strikes you, when panic strikes you like a violent storm, when calamity strikes you like a windstorm, when trouble and anguish come to you. They will call me at that time, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They refused my advice. They despised my every warning. They will eat the fruit of their lifestyles. They will be stuffed with their own schemes. Listen to what God said. See, you don't love God. You got pastors and preachers teaching out of their very soul, and you reject them because you say they're too religious. We don't want to hear that. We don't want that. But God said when the day of your calamity comes, he's going to mock you. Let's go here to this disaster watch. Now, this is just in this year. This year, we still got 4 more months of this year, and I'm just going to give you some of the global disaster watch. This is the headline. Friday, August 9th, 2013, largest quake. This morning, 5.0 off the east coast of Japan, some part of Japan. I'm not going to try to mention the name. It's like Honshu or something. Yesterday, 8:18, 5.2, Java, Indonesia. 5.0, near the coast of Papua, Indonesia. 5.7, Fiji. 5.0, Philippines. You see what I'm saying? And then people say, oh, they've been saying this since our fathers died. We've always had earthquakes, but not to the frequency that we're having today. Everything has been escalated. Even the years are going by quickly. Do you not see this? Looked like it was just a few months ago. It was January. Now we're almost at the latter part of this year. Tropical storms in the eastern Pacific. Hurricane Henrietta is located about 980 miles off the coast of Hawaii, a small-sized storm. Henrietta is expected to become a tropical storm by Friday night or early Saturday. Tropical depression, tropical storm in Vietnam and South China. Poorly organized tropical storm, it says Manghut, was seen swirling across the South China Sea before striking northern Vietnam on Wednesday. The northern half of Vietnam and China Island, tropical storm made landfall about 65 miles of Vietnamese capital of Hanoi as a minimal storm on Wednesday. What am I getting at? Look at all this destruction, and this is not just in America. It's across the globe. Thailand issued a warning for provinces in the north and northeast as it is expected that this hurricane will cause heavy rain, wind in those regions. It was reported that the tropical storm is traveling at a speed of 75 miles. It will eventually turn into a tropical depression. Henrietta weakening. Then this is another depression. Thursday, Henrietta was Category 2 hurricane with winds of 100 miles per hour. Okay, let's go on. And this is, what did I just say about the storm? He said, I will make fun of you when panic strikes you like a violent storm. You can't, with these hurricanes and things in the natural, the way you prepare for them is get out of their way. And this is what he said. When it strikes you, then that's when people start panicking. You don't wait until the storm hit before you start trying to close your shutters and prepare for it. This is what he's saying with the end times. Don't wait till it comes before you start getting your life right with God, because it's going to catch you unaware. Here's another example of the global disasters that's coming up on the world. A NASA satellite image shows two other low-pressure systems, and they're coming. About 700 miles southwest of Mexico has a 50% chance of intensifying into a tropical cyclone over the next 2 days. Now, this was just in August. Severe rainstorms, flooding, landslides, deadly floods hit central U.S. and Missouri, worst affected. Up to 3 people have died in a flash flood that has sparked alerts in several U.S. states. A child was killed and his mother was presumed dead after their car was swept away in Missouri, which has suffered the worst of the deluge. Another woman died as her car drove over a bridge in rapidly rising water in that same state. Flash flood and warnings are also in place in parts of Kansas, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Tennessee. More heavy rains are focused this weekend. Nashville residents took to their roofs to avoid the rising water. The rains turned a normal Placid Creek into a Class B whitewater river. Some 15 inches of rain was recorded in a 48-hour period. And you say you don't want God. At least 100 homes and businesses in Hollister, Missouri were damaged when a creek flooded. Scores of people were evacuated, some of whom had to be rescued by boat. The Interstate 44 motor it reopened on Thursday after flooding waters receded. Arkansas saw about 10 inches of rain in Benton County, while parts of Kansas and Oklahoma saw 6 inches. We here in Georgia, we had flooding also. North Georgia, they were flooded out. It looked like some kind of raging river. Pickens County, Georgia. Hundreds flee. This is the extreme drought. Hundreds flee. Unconditional banning. California wildfires. Flood officials said about a dozen structures have been damaged or destroyed. About 1,500 people have been forced to flee from their homes in Southern California as the wildfire rages out of control. 2 firefighters. Remember this about a couple of months ago, maybe a month ago, where the 90 firefighters died? Oh, how many was it? 19 died? Wildfires. He said about 1,000 firefighters were on the scene and were supported by 6 air tankers and 13 helicopters. The smoke was so bad you couldn't see. There were embers and ash coming down all over the sky. I was starting not to be able to breathe. You see what I'm saying? Droughts lead another tidal Colorado wheat seed supply. So we have droughts on one end, flooding on the other, earthquakes on the other. Come on, people. It's going to be very tight because this drought is causing the seed not to germinate. Now think about it. If he said famine, that could easily be a famine. With natural disasters, all it would have to do was stop producing that seed. And we could have a famine right here in America. You say, oh, it had never happened to America. We're too good for that. We're too great. Who are you kidding? I just read you what God said. He said he would laugh in the day of your calamity. You don't want him? He'll laugh at you. It's going to be very tight. He said the harvest, he said customers usually are allowed to save their seed. He said, but it's going to be tight this year because of the droughts over in Colorado. Droughts, now floods, central Kansas, see extreme. He said, my real concern is that it is going to continue to rain. And it seems like I should be building an ark, but don't have the plans. Honey, your plan is in Christ Jesus. That's your master plan. Now, you can't fight with natural means, a supernatural battle. You're going to have God on your side. That's the only way you're going to be able to combat this, what's coming up on the earth. Then we have butterflies in the Central Valley are emerging from hiding earlier in the spring. Glaciers in the Sierra Nevada have shrunk. Spring runoffs from snowmelt has declined, affecting Central Valley farmers and hydroelectric plants that rely on snowmelt to produce power. Do you see all this? Levels of carbon monoxide, methane, and other heat-trapping gases in the state increased between 1990 and 2011. The recent years, there has been a slight drop, the result of industries and vehicles becoming more energy efficient, the report said. Carbon monoxide, dioxide, in effect, killing off some of the salmon in the oceans and in the rivers, all this carbon monoxide. It's time to pray, people. It's time to pray. Turtles eating record amounts of plastic because all these plastic containers, we just dumping into our rivers, and the turtles are eating the plastic. You see, this stuff is coming up on the world, and yet the church is saying, oh, we're all right. So many dead bottlenose dolphins are washing up in the mid-Atlantic coast because it's so much pollution in there, so many diseases in there, and the dolphins is being washed up. Animals are being washed up. This is why the scientists are saying that we don't have any answers. We don't know what we're going to do. But now it's time for the church to start crying out to God, start asking God to come in and heal the land. And you know what? A lot of times it starts with a personal thing. If you've been walking and you know you've been living in a backslidden life, now is the day you need to ask God to come into your heart. You need to ask God to come and make you whole. Take out anything that's not like him. Because it's easy to get caught up in the world. It's easy to go with the world when the world is saying it's all good, everything is going great, life is good as we know it. And before you know it, if you stay around that kind of talk, you'll be acting just like the world. That's why we have to ask God to guard me as if I were in the pupil of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wing. Lord, I don't want to be taken over by this mindset of this world that everything is going great and life as we know it is going to continue to go on and we can live prosperous, we can live in good health, and we don't have to worry about nothing else. That is a lie. I just read you what is going on. If you have a love for people, then your heart should have a passion where you're going to reach somebody else. It's more to it than just you. It's more to it than you just getting your money. It's more to it than you just having your bling bling. You need to be reaching out to others. You need to get that burden that God had put on the apostles of old, the burden, the crying in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Where's the burden? Where's the burden, Pastor? Why do you think it's just about you? Why do you think it's all about you? I stand up on stage and I'm the big man here on stage. It's not about you. It's about the kingdom. It's about people dying and going to hell who don't know the Savior. It's about us reaching out to those who are lost and compelling them to come. Time out for the foolishness. Time out for the reality TV show. If I get on reality TV show, I've made it. What are you thinking about? Oprah is doing a number making a mockery out of you. You got pastors laying up fornicating and saying, I'm just a man like anybody else. The devil is a lie. Then if you're going to be fornicating, you need to step down. They're making a mockery out of it. The world is looking at this church and laughing at them because you have no substance. You're a compromiser. You're a liar. And you're taking the gospel and you're twisting it. God have mercy on us. I hope that was a blessing to you. I just wanted to bring that out. With that, I'm going to turn this part of our program over to Pastor Bob. Be blessed, and we'll see you next week.
Praise God, children of the Most High God. We want to thank the Lord for what has gone forth so far in reference to what Sister Montgomery is saying, and we're talking about Matthew 24, end times. And she brought out a lot in reference to end times. And so we should take that into consideration. We are living in some dangerous times. We are living in times of apostasy. We are living in times of falsehood and times of violence and evil, and that needs to be brought out. Now, one thing that we're bringing out the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're coming out of Matthew 24. And he prophesied. Now, what he prophesied really thousands of years in the future of where he was. And it was already brought out previously that the disciples asked Jesus a question of when the end time would be, or when Jesus was coming back, or and the signs of the time. And Jesus told them some profound things. He told them some things that at that time to them probably was somewhat unbelievable, because they were living at a time when those things that Jesus was talking about had not happened. And it hadn't happened because Jesus told them that the trouble that was going to be on the earth at the time that he would be returning would be worse than any time in history, and will be worse than any time that would be. That's what Jesus said. Now, let me bring out some things that the Lord spoke about. Now, Sister Montgomery, she went into detail on many things, so I'm going to do a little addition to that, but I will be speaking on what Jesus said, and then I will also talk on the real times that we're in and what's actually happening right now. One thing I would like for you to know, the things that are actually happening, before I get into the word, is spiritual, okay? It's spiritual. And what you are seeing is the manifestations of the things that are happening in the spirit realm. We are in an active warfare with the enemy, the devil, and his hosts of demons. That's where we are right now. Don't be fooled. That's where we are. That's the reason why every time you look and cut on the television, and every time you cut and listen to any news, it's always violence. It's always some kind of strange murder going on. There's always some kind of horrible thing happening, because we are seeing the manifestation of the enemy in these last times. And he's manifesting like that because he knows that he has a short time. How does he know? Because he believes the word of God even more than many people do. He knows the word of God is true. He knows that there is God. He knows that there is Jesus Christ. He knows that there are angels. And he is fighting tooth and nail to destroy God's people. That is the time we are in right now. And that's what Jesus was talking about. People, we're in a spiritual battle. It is a spiritual war. And the things that you see on the earth is manifestation of the spirit realm. So what do we do about that? What do? We listen to God. We listen to Christ. We focus on his word. We do what he says. We are obedient. We put on our full armor from head to foot, and we fight. We fight. We fight. And why am I speaking like this? Because look, just because you feel that, well, if I don't mess with the devil then won't mess with me. Or you feel, well, I'm ignorant of his devices, so he's not going to bother me. I'm sorry. You go out there without your armor on, you go out there in ignorance of the word of God, and the devil will knock your head off. Do you hear me? The enemy is not playing. He is serious. He is serious. He is serious. He is taking people out. And the only way these people will be set free and delivered from the hands of the enemy is through Christ Jesus. But you got to put get your war cry on. You got to put your armor on. You got to get your sword. You got to get your shield. And you got to get ready for the battle. We're in a battle now. This is a real war. Why do you think there's so much deception in the land? Why do you think there's so much violence in the land? Why do you think there's so much disbelief in the land, so much apostasy in the land? Why do you think there's so much trouble everywhere, all over the world? It's not just in
America, but it's all over the world. You have the same thing: trouble, calamity, violence. You have calamity going on now that's unheard of. Whoever heard of 100 or 200 or 300 tornadoes hitting in one area in a month's time? Okay, I just wanted to bring out, get you to thinking a little bit. Get you to thinking a little bit. Get you to thinking a little bit of where we are in this day and time. All right. Now, I'm going to come out of Matthew 24, and I'm going to start with one verse starting at 14. I'm going to read down through that. I'm going to read down through that. Now, this is what Jesus said. Now, Jesus said, this good news about the kingdom will be spread throughout the world as a testimony to all nations. Then the end will come. Now, that's what Jesus said. So we have time. We can do some work for the Lord. We can preach the Lord. We have time. But listen to what Jesus said. The prophet Daniel said that the disgusting thing that will cause destruction will stand in the holy place. When you see this, let the reader take note. Those of you in Judea should flee to the mountains. Those who are on the roof should not come down to get anything out of the house. Those who are on the field should not turn back to get their coats. Now, what is he talking about here? He's talking about the abomination of desolation. He's talking about the Antichrist or the beast that's going to go to Jerusalem. He's going to stand in the temple, and he's going to call himself and claim to be God. Now, we have had something like that happened in the time of Rome, where a particular leader went to the a temple and profaned it. But that's not what the law was talking about. He was talking future tense. He was talking about sometime in the future. It's going to happen because they are now in the process of rebuilding the old temple now. They have found the foundations of Solomon's temple, on that, and they are in the process of building it. They are even training a priest to perform the duties of the sacrifices of the temple. So they're working on that now, okay? They're working on that right now. All right. Now, Jesus said, how horrible it would be for women who are pregnant or who are nursing babies in those days. Pray that it will not be winter or a day of worship when you flee. There will be a lot of misery at that time, a kind of misery that has not happened from the beginning of the world until now and will certainly never happen again. This is what Jesus is saying. And he also said, 23, if God does not reduce the number of those days, no one will be saved. Now, what he's saying right there is that if time is not shortened, nobody is going to be alive. Everybody is going to be wiped out. Nobody will be saved because the devil is doing a horrible thing right now. His desire is to destroy mankind. Not just destroy them, but destroy them whereas they will not be able to accept Jesus Christ as Savior and be saved. That's what Satan is working on. Satan doesn't want anybody to be saved, and if he can do something to prevent you from salvation, that's what he will do, and he's working on that. He's working on that, so what must we do? We must preach the gospel to every creature and obey Jesus Christ. That's what we must do. We must do that. At that time, don't believe anyone who tells you here is the mass, here's the Messiah, or there he is. False messiahs and false prophets will appear. Now listen to this. They will work spectacular, miraculous signs and do wonderful things to deceive, if possible, even those whom God has chosen. Now, did you hear that, people? Did you hear that? You can't get caught up in what you see, because the Bible tells us, and I'm not mistaken, back in Jeremiah, he says, if a prophet even tells you the truth of the word of God, he tells you the truth of the word of God. He's preaching God's word. It's God's word. But then after he tells you about God's word, then he leads you to false gods and idols, and he leads you away from God, away from Christ. He leads you away from what he just spoke about. That is a false prophet. And even if he works miracles, he's still a false prophet, because those miracles and those signs are not of God. The devil is doing that through him, masquerading as the things of God. What does Corinthians say? What did Paul say? Said the devil, Lucifer, can disguise themselves as angels of light. So don't be deceived. Don't fall for what you see necessarily. You try that thing by the word of God and by the Spirit of God to make sure absolutely that it is from God and by God, by his Spirit and the word of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Don't fall for all that mess. Don't fall for the tricks. Don't fall for that. Don't fall for the hype. Don't fall for that. You trust in God. Especially in these end times. Don't just go by what a person says. Don't just go by what I say. You get into that word. You get into that word. You study that word. You be like the Bereans who were honorable and they studied the word. They didn't just take what anybody said. They took what the Lord said. That's what you do, people of the Most High God. You take the word of the Lord and compare it to what's happening around you so that you will not be deceived, because we are truly living in end times. And then he says, if someone tells you he's in the desert, don't go out looking for him. Don't believe anyone who says he's in a secret place. Say, the Son of Man will come again just as lightning flashes from east to west. And then he says, the vultures will gather wherever there is a dead body. That's where you see vultures. You see them out there. Anything dead down the side of the road, thing could be corroded, rotted for 3 or 4 weeks, and there's vultures out there on it. Huh? You see? It said, immediately after the misery of those days, the sun will turn dark, the moon will not give light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the universe will be shaken, and that's happening right now. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. All the people on earth will cry in agony when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds in the sky with power and great glory. He will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and from every direction under the sky they will gather those whom God has chosen. Whom God has chosen. Don't you want to be one of those that God has chosen? Well, you can be one of those. The only thing you have to do is accept Jesus Christ as Lord. Accept Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God. Believe that God, that he died, buried, and was resurrected. God raised him from the dead, and that he's the Son of the living God. And after you do that, you repent, and you ask the Lord to fill you with his Holy Spirit, and he'll do it. And then you'll be one of his chosen ones. That's not too hard. That's not too hard. That's not too hard. You can do it. You don't have to be lost. You do not have to be lost. You do not have to be bound. You do not have to be under the influence of the evil one and tormented by him. That doesn't have to be you. Because Jesus Christ delivered you on the cross. He took the whip for your deliverance. He shed his blood that you would be saved. And you can be saved. You can be set free. You don't have to be deceived. You don't have to be. Ah, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He said, learn from the story of the fig tree. When its branch becomes tender and the sprouts leaves, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see all these things, you know that he is near at the door. I can guarantee this truth, Jesus says. This generation will not disappear until all these things take place. The earth and the heavens will disappear, but my words will never disappear. The Lord Jesus, now there are some things, a lot of things that I just mentioned has not happened yet. So that basically means is you have some time. You have some time, but you don't want to wait too late. You don't want to be like the time of Noah, when Noah spent 120 years building the ark and telling people to repent, and they laughed at him. They called him crazy. They called him stupid. They say, oh, he must have fell and hit his head on something. He's out there building that ark. It has never rained. Didn't even look like it was going to rain. And Noah was telling them, it's going to rain, people. It's going to rain as he build the ark. And they laughed. But when the rain started falling, do you hear me? When that rain started falling, and when the gushes of the earth burst forth, and rain was falling from the sky, and geysers were pushing forth through the earth, and when the rivers started flooding, and when the oceans started flooding, and the waters rose up higher and higher and higher and higher and higher, then they were beating on the ark then. Then they were hollering for Noah to open the door. But it was too late. It was too late. It was too late. And they perished. But you don't have to be like that now. You don't have to be like that. Some of you may be, but you don't have to be. Because you got people hollering out and screaming, repent, get saved. The end is drawing nigh. Jesus is on his way back. You see the signs of the time. And I'm going to bring out some more things too. Now, listen to this. Jesus said, no one knows when that day or hour will come. And you've heard this many times before. But what are you going to do with it? You've been hearing the warnings. But what are you going to do with it? Lord, have mercy. No one knows when that day or hour will come. Even the angels in heaven and the Son don't know. Only the Father knows. When the Son of Man comes again, it will be exactly like the days of Noah. In the days before the flood, people were eating, drinking, and getting married until the day that Noah went into the ship. They were not aware of what was happening until the flood came and swept all of them away. That is how it will be when the Son of Man comes again. Now, when Jesus said it will be as it was in the days of Noah, so how was it in the days of Noah? Now, we heard the Lord said that they were eating and drinking and getting married. In other words, they were going about their daily activity. But if you do a little study in Genesis in reference to how people were actually living in the days of Noah, it was horrible. It was a horrible time. Even though everything was going well for them, they had plenty of money, they had plenty of food, they had enough to drink. They were getting married. They had wealth. They had everything they desired. But it was actually a horrible time, full, relatively full of violence. Did you hear me? Full of violence. People didn't love each other. They were full of violence. There were things going on that was just about unbelievable at the time of Noah. And we're coming full circle to that. The scripture said that violence filled the earth. Let me bring some things out here. Matthew 24:37-38 was saying, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be, for on those days that were eating and drinking and giving in marriage. But here it is, before the earth was flooded. But it says life will be normal until. If this thing is going to happen in a time of prosperity, when people are buying, selling, marrying, planting, and harvesting, this has to occur before the tribulation, since the earth will be devastated by the judgment and wrath of God during the tribulation period. For an example, almost all the grass and trees will be destroyed. Almost all the water will be turned to blood. It'll be undrinkable. Those will not be normal times. But it says they ate, drank, married right up until the time Noah entered the ark. Then the destruction of the flood suddenly came and they were destroyed. Now, listen, in Noah's day, there was plenty of warning, but no preparedness. Now, you're getting warning now. Are you preparing for it? Are you considering Christ Jesus? Are you looking at your life? Are you looking at your life? Are you looking at your life? How are you living? Is it in accordance to God's word? Is it pleasing to Jesus Christ? Is Jesus approved of your lifestyle? If you died right now, where would you be? Where would you go? Or do you believe that you're like a dog or a cat or a squirrel, that when you die, you're just dead? Is that your belief? Huh? Is that your belief? Search yourself. Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. Jesus is the life, the way, the truth, and the life, and the light, and every good thing there is in Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It says, because they didn't heed him, they mocked. Most of the church has become indifferent about the second coming, replacing it with church triumphalism, making his kingdom on earth. But the Bible clearly says the earth will be just like Noah's day, which is not a pretty scene. It says there will be marrying and giving in marriage. Today we see people being married and divorced multiple times. Malachi 2:16 reads, for the Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce, for it covers one's garments with violence. This is attributed to our society's breakdown, no commitment, no love. Genesis 6:11-12, the earth also was corrupted before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. Today, we live in a world constantly threatened by terrorism. In our cities, we have hate crimes, drive-by shootings, mothers killing their own infant children, parents killing their children, children killing parents, and human behavior is becoming the norm. We have run amok, having no restraints. Why? Because there's no law, no real accountability. It's lawlessness. The more tolerance today, the less morals we have. There's a relationship between the two. No standard and anything goes. No standard and anything goes. In Israel, apostasy at the end of the book of Judges reads, just as our society today, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Remember what I said earlier when I said that we are in a spiritual battle, and what we're seeing is the manifestations of two kingdoms? We have a kingdom of darkness, and we have a kingdom of light. When we see all these hate crimes, drive-by shootings, people killing people, mothers killing their own infants, parents killing their children, children killing parents, inhuman behavior, all this going on, illicit activity, lasciviousness, all kinds of horrible sensual activity, what you're looking at is a manifestation of foul spirits. Demonic spirits. That's what you're seeing. And that was exactly how it was in the time and days of Noah. They gave themselves over to the devil, Satan. And that's what we have now. What do you think? If you reject God, what do you think is coming in there? If you say there is no God, what do you think is going to happen? What do you think is going to happen? There is no void. It's either God or Satan. It's either the kingdom of God or it's the kingdom of Satan. There is no in-betweens. Just because you say there is no God, that doesn't prove that there is no God. When you're doing what Satan tells you to do, Jesus says you are the servant of whom you obey. Now, if you are obeying the enemy, you are his servant. But if you obey God, you are the servant of God. And really, to be truthful, you have power and authority over the enemy, but you have to exercise that by the word of God and by the Spirit of God. Or else you will constantly lose in this warfare. That's why we're seeing what we're seeing. Now, I'm going to read a little more here. Then I'm going to go on. Wow, hallelujah. It says, in Israel, the apostles, at the end of the book of Judges, reads, just as our society today, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Does that sound familiar? I mean, people have even said, well, hey, I can get to heaven however I want to. There are many, many ways. You can get to heaven by worshiping the devil. That's what some people say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they say that. Just like you can go north by going south, or you can go west by going east. That's what they're saying. So they're saying you can get to the kingdom of God doing anything except in any kind of religion. You can get to heaven. No, it doesn't work like that. The Lord said, Jesus said, the only way you're going to get to God is by and through him. That's it. I'm sorry. That's it. You can't get to God through Islam. You can't get to God through Hinduism. You can't get to God through Satanism. You can't get to God through Hare Krishna. You can't get to God through all these different religions that has nothing to do with God and Christ. It doesn't work that way. If you don't believe me, get in your word. Do some research on it. Check your archaeology. Go do some study. Go and study the stars. Look at up in the sky and look down in the earth, and it's going to point to God and Christ. Look at your human body, and it's going to point to God and Christ. There's nothing that you see. Everything that you see, if you really get into it and study the thing, it's going to point you to God and Christ. What are you going to do with that? If you look at that objectively, you're going to see God and Christ. You're going to see evidence of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and of Jesus Christ, and of his Holy Ghost, his Holy Spirit. That's all you're going to see. Glory to God. So people go to suicide because they have no hope. Euthanasia is becoming an accepted alternative. Light is called darkness, and darkness is light. And Satanism, up is down and down is up. It will be a time unlike any other where lawlessness will be the way people live. Is that what we are today? We already see this occurring. Terrorism, hate crimes, our behavior has no restraints. Lawlessness is increasingly becoming the norm of society. Say the president had a sex scandal some time ago. It had no effect on the popularity. People don't care. They're not in position to point fingers, for that would make them guilty as well. But look at what Joel 3:19 says. That Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom a desolate wilderness, because of violence against the people of Judah. For they have shed innocent blood in the land. Ooh. Ooh. Jeremiah 22:17. Yet your eyes and your heart are for nothing but your covetousness, for shedding innocent blood, and practicing oppression and violence. Now listen to this. Innocent blood can be those of age and those without ever seeing the outside of the womb. 50 million babies are aborted worldwide each year. Each year. That is 137,000 lives each day. This is genocide. The land is defiled by blood. Perilous times are upon us. But without the Bible, one can barely recognize this fact. So alcohol kills 65,000 people a year. Alcohol. 22,000 on the highway. Without hope, we turn to anything that will ease our pain, only to find that it hastens our death. Did you hear that, people? You have no hope in the world. Your deliverance does not come from the things of the world. Huh? It's only in Christ Jesus. It's only by the word of God. Check it out sometime. You got a Bible in your house. Get some of that dust off of it. Get some of the dust off of it. Crack it open and read it and believe it. It's not just a book of stories and make believe. It changes lives. Get that mess out of your mind. It's not just a book that somebody set up and said, I think I'm going to write a book. No. That is the word of the living God, and it changes lives, and it defeats the enemy, and it heals the brokenhearted, and it sets the captive free. It gives sight to the blind. Get the book. Get the book. Break open the Bible. Throw those other books away. They're not helping you. Those books are just written by men. But the Bible is the inspired word of God, and it is true. If you don't believe it, look at the prophecies that have come forth. Look at the men who wrote it. They didn't conspire together to say, well, we're going, all of us all over the world, we're going to just get together and we're going to write something that's going to tell us to do right, that's going to straighten us out, that's going to tell us to stop doing what we're doing that's wrong. No, they didn't write that. God wrote the Bible. And it is true. And it is infallible. And it will save your soul. And it will set you free. But you got to read it. And you got to believe it. It's not just a fairy tale. It's not just an interesting story. It's not something somebody just sat down and made up. It is the word of the living God. It's God talking to you. Listen to him, and you will be set free. You will be made whole. I'm going to read a few things, and then I'm going to open up the phone lines. Glory to God. Because we can go on a long way with this. But I'm gonna read a few more things to you. Then I'm gonna go to the phone line. Our guest call in number is 323-375-0849. That guest call in number is 323-375-0849. You can call in and we'll keep it confidential. I won't. You don't have to give your name. And you can we can talk. If you need prayer, we'll pray for you too. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm coming out of Luke 17:28, and it says in Luke 17:28, likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built, verse 29, but on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven. And what were the days of Lot like? That needed this kind of judgment? Genesis 13:13 reads, but the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. In the days of Lot, the people gave themselves over to blatant sexual sin. They were homosexuals and adulterers and engaged in anything their wicked heart desired. Lawlessness abounded. Everyone did whatever they felt like from their own evil heart. It became a normal thing in the cities to live in this manner. What are we looking like now, people? What does it look like now? What does it look like now? It's even infiltrated the churches. It's infiltrated the churches. A lot of preachers cannot preach the truth because they're participating in all this mess. So they can't preach the truth. They can't preach the true gospel. They're preaching another gospel. They can't preach the true Jesus Christ. They're preaching another Jesus Christ, a false Christ that's leading people to hell. Did you hear that? Wake up. Get your word. Study your word. Grow in the things of God. Now listen to this. Historically, the source of violence comes from one that was once close to God, Lucifer. He was a violent one. Ezekiel 28:16, in the abundance of your trade, you are filled with violence and you sin. This verse speaks of Satan, who was then cast as a profane thing from the mind of God. He was filled with violence, whereas before he was perfect in all his ways until sin was found in him, the sin of pride. Violence is the physical exhibition of pride. Psalm 73:6. Therefore, pride serves as a necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. One can recognize that we are a society that is self-dependent, and self-engrossed pride is expressed through violence. Our society has reached the time that can be ripe for judgment. Proverbs 4:17-19. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. It says, we have the fruits of our labors today from sowing seeds of discord for years. Psalm 21:7, the violence of the wicked will destroy them, because they refuse to do justice. Now listen, the spiritual war has been on the increase as Satan's hosts find their expression through ungodly people to do violence, working through the sons of disobedience. While God wants to bring order and light, Satan comes to steal away any good thing. What does God say about violence? Psalm 11:5. The Lord tests the righteous and the wicked, and his soul hates him that loves violence. It also says, all those who love death hate me. Isn't that something? Our call-in number is 323-375-0849. That's 323-375-0849. You can call in. We'll be more than happy to speak with you. If you have a prayer request, we'll be more than happy to pray with you. But I'm going to go on until someone calls in, or until the close of the show, because this is the time that we're coming in, that we're living in, and it has to be addressed. It has to be addressed, because times are not going to get any better, and the only way that you're going to find solace and peace and joy is in Christ Jesus, because the world, the society that we live in, doesn't have it to offer. And the reason that it doesn't have it to offer is because they have rejected the true and the living God, and they have cast off all of his laws. They have cast off all of his words. They have cast off all of his righteousness, and they're going in their own righteousness. But that their way is the way of destruction. That's what the word says. So why would you follow that way? Why would you go that way? Huh? Jesus said, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. And then he said, it's going to be few that find it. Why is it going to be few that find it? Because a lot of people, many people, is stuck in the broad way, because they are looking at the things of this world and they cannot tell the difference between God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit and the things of Satan. So they accept the deception and they walk headlong into an eternity separated from God. And I want to say this to you people. God doesn't throw anybody in hell, or heaven for that matter. But he gives you what you desire. He gives you what you work for. He gives you what you ask for. And if you say you don't want God, he says, okay, That's fine. That's all right. I'll step out. I'll step off. But there's going to be a consequence of God stepping out of your life. All right, we got someone calling. 1231. All right, you're live now. All right.
How you doing, sir?
Doing very well. Doing very well.
Well, I was blessed by your message and preaching about the end times. I just was just blessed listening to it, and I do gospel rap down here in Jacksonville, Florida.
Yeah.
And I'm rapping about Jesus, and I'm rapping about peace. And one thing I wanted to just share is, you know, I was looking at how Satan knows his time is short, but we got to always remember, too, that he was the biggest liar from the beginning. He's the biggest liar, but at the same time, he was the praise and worship leader when he was in heaven.
That's right.
So
that's right.
He knew how to get the music pumping. He knew how to get the praises up to God. And we all know that he got kicked out of heaven, but he still kept that anointing or gift to make music. So
right.
I see in the culture that music is a universal language that can control the world without even having to know English or know Spanish or know a dialect.
Yes.
It can control and influence people. And I just think about when, you know, I do Christian rap and I used to sell dope when I was young. I used to do those things when I was 14, 15. And I seen people get gunned down. I heard of, you know, things like that happening in other neighborhoods. And even with us, when we was out there, whenever we wanted to, you know, get high or something, sometimes we got high without playing music, but most of the time we would get high, we would listen to something that put you in this, like a slow down type of music. They call it screw. And we would listen to that. Because when you high, you feel like you're slowing down, like everything in slow motion. So you put on music that would equate to your high. Or if you were thinking about, you know, having sex or something, you would put on some kind of sex music, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people argue and say, no, it's not the music. The music doesn't control. No, it doesn't. But Satan uses music, not only just music, but, you know, media and stuff, but he uses music to put a strong influence on people. And if you notice, you could hear certain things on the radio or just going in a grocery store, not even really paying attention to it, and it'll be stuck in your head when you leave the store. You're like,
that's right.
Where'd that come from? You know, so it's a lot of violence going on, but since I do gospel rap, I do notice how a lot of the music can lead people. I mean, even in church.
Yes.
You go to church, you listen to praise music, you listen to worship music.
Yes.
You know, to usher in the Spirit of God. But at the same time, Satan know how powerful it is, music is too. So just yesterday down here in Jacksonville, Florida, I know one kid was killed. It was a drive-by in the neighborhood, probably a couple miles from the area where I'm at, and all I know is that a young 13-year-old girl was murdered. She was sitting in a house And whatever happened, it was a drive-by, and they shot in the house, and she got killed. The other person put in ICU. Don't know if they made it, but I know the girl died on the spot, 13. And
wow.
Only thing I could think of doing what I'm doing is, did that 13-year-old girl have a relationship with Jesus? Did she die and go to hell? And, you know, it's just something that's been on my heart. And while I'm going out preaching the stuff, you know, I'm under attack too. I get discouraged sometimes. And, you know, you're trying to do what you need to do, but the enemy be trying to attack you too. In different
that's
areas.
Right.
But it's just, I recognize and I hear the trumpet blowing.
Yes.
And I feel like we got to always warn the people, because if we don't, despite of who hear or who don't, the blood's going to be on our hands. And I'm just going to continue to, you know, be that watchman, be that person to blow the trumpet, let the people know, hey, it's a sword coming upon the land. And,
that's right.
You got to repent, you know. Like I say, I had a friend, 16, he died in the dope game.
Yeah.
Who's to say? Who's to say where he went? So. But according to the word, I don't think he made it into heaven. So not only is I feel like the time is short, but I feel that people going to hell, young and old,
That's right
now as we speak.
That's right. You're absolutely telling the truth, brother. You're absolutely telling the truth, and that's why we're telling the truth, and that's the reason why we're talking about where we are in time. And we are in the last days. We are in the last times, and there's a whole lot of things that's happening, and there are many more things that's getting ready to happen because Jesus said they would happen, and it's happening. So, but you have people that's preaching and telling the truth of the word of God so that no one needs to be lost. Because it's God's will. God said that it is his will that every man comes to repentance. God said that he did not create hell for people. Hell is a specific place created for the devil and his angels. People, hell is not for you. If you force yourself to go there, God doesn't want you to go there. If he wanted you to go there, if God wanted us to be lost, Jesus Christ would have never come. The reason Jesus Christ came was to save us from our sins and the consequences of our sin. All right? All right? So don't go around saying that God throws people in hell. You put yourself there by rejecting him. But hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. But if you want to side with the devil, if you want to reject God and Christ and kick him out of his life, kick him out of your life completely, well, then you're going to go with the one you obey. That's it. All right, we have only about 6 minutes left, but I had to bring that out because I get tired of hearing people blame God for what they and Lucifer does, for what they and demonic spirit do when they know they've made a choice to disobey God and made a choice to reject everything about God. And then when God gives them what they ask for, then they blame them. What is that? You ask somebody for $50, and then when they give you the $50, you get mad at them. Come on now, people. Come on. Come on. Be truthful. Be truthful now. Stop it. Accept some responsibility for your own actions. You know you're doing wrong. You know it. You know it. You know it. Come on. Drop the pride and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's where we are now. Just drop it. Okay, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not short anymore. Come on. Come on. Be a man. Be a woman. Be godly. Be righteous. Be holy. Sanctify yourself to the things of the Lord. You don't have to go through all this horrible stuff. You don't have to be lost. God loves you. He loves you. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. God loves you. Why is that so hard for you to believe? Why is that so hard for you to accept? The devil doesn't love you. Society doesn't love you. God loves you. He created you in his own image. Body, soul, and spirit. He made you like him. Accept him as Lord and Savior. Accept Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God, that God raised him from the dead on the third day. Accept him for your salvation. Accept him for your deliverance, and he'll do it. But that right now is the end of our program. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, we ask that you touch all the listeners out there. Touch their mind, touch them body, soul, and spirit, that they will receive your word, that they will receive the revelation of your word, that they will receive the anointing of your word, that they would be set free according to your word. Father God, we come against and we bind up every foul and unclean spirit, every spirit of infirmity. We bind it up and we cast it out right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus. We come against every foul spirit of depression. We come against spirits that would oppress. We come against foul, perverse spirits. We bind them up and we cast them out in the name of Jesus. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we speak healing and deliverance in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And Father God, we've touched that one that's standing on the fence. And they don't know whether to come to you or not. Touch them, Lord, that their eyes would be open and that they would see you as you are, Father God, in the name of Jesus. That you will see you as love and kindness and grace. That they would accept you as Lord. That they would come out of the muck and the mire. That they would be set free from the bondages of Satan. Loose them, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. We welcome you all to our next program. If you all would have a desire to give any type of offering, you can go to our KOGM.net website. There's a donate button there, and you can donate whatsoever the Lord will place on your heart to give. Thank you. Be blessed. See you next time. Goodbye.